Drop.
Yo, what's up, internet? Welcome back to the dopest podcast around. I'm dope, you're dope, Mondays are dope, and today I got a dope guest. I got my buddy Josh Florhog, comedian. Just had a special put up on Amazon.
Yes.
Brother, thank you so much for
thank you for having me on Monday. This is the most fun Monday.
Hell yeah, dude. No, absolutely, baby. I always tell people, hang out with me long enough, Monday will be your favorite day of the week.
Yeah, because it's usually the worst, and then today has already been cool. So.
Right, no, exactly, yeah. Man, exactly. And like, it's crazy, because people always ask me, like, oh, what, did you like school? Do you like going to work or something? And it's like, nah, man, like, I used to tag Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, and
so that was your tag.
Right, exactly. And it's cool because if you flip the syllables, it's my name.
Yes.
So like I would do like a little kind of like a crazy sharp happy face underneath.
Okay, cuz flipping syllables. So the Damon and Monday, yeah.
Yep, so I would let everyone know who was there and still tell them who it was, but they still didn't figure it out, baby.
And you haven't been caught.
Exactly.
Until today, I'm a cop.
I'm a cop, dude.
What if I was a cop?
That would be crazy. And you know what? Keeping it G, brother, I might believe it.
That's because I have a very cop face.
100%. Yeah. You have detective face.
Thank you. I think that's a promotion, right?
No, 100%.
It's like I made it through the force, and then I gave like a bunch of speeding tickets and like jaywalking tickets and like busted underage drinkers. Exactly, and then now they're like, you're going on detective work.
It's like this guy deserves to wear a suit.
I don't think anybody would respect me as a cop or a teacher. That's why I don't do either. I feel like anybody after junior high would be like, hey, fuck you. And I'd be like, yeah, all right, cool.
For sure, man.
I'd spend the whole day not looking at them. I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, dude.
All right, Trent's on the football team. He could probably beat me up. I don't care what he does today.
Yeah, exactly, dude. And when these high school kids fucking, they don't give a fuck.
High school kids are big.
Yeah. No, it's wild, man. It's wild. Like, I see them now, and like, looking back, I think like, oh, man. You know, when you're younger and you see the older kids, they always look way, way older.
Yeah.
And like now, like I'm looking at these kids and I'm like, damn, I really like wasn't that old, number one. But two, yeah, no, fucking, that's scary. Fucking.
I'm scared of some high school kids.
Scary time.
Yeah. In high school, yeah, because you don't know what's going on and you're just mad all the time.
Right, exactly. And like, dude, I was like, I got really into like backyard boxing and shit.
Hell yeah.
When I got out of high school and like hanging out with like a bunch of like punkers and like grimy metalheads and shit. So fucking, I loved fighting, dude. I loved that shit. And like thinking back now, I was 17 years old fighting with like grown men sometimes.
Could you think about that? Like, how old are you now?
27.
Yeah. Could you think about fighting a 17-year-old right now?
No, dude.
That's against the law.
Yeah. And I for sure. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, dude. Number one. And number two, you know.
Like, you chose to do that, but if you went home and your mom was like, why do you have black eyes? And you're like, I'm fighting now, mom. And she's like, who'd you fight? And you're like a 27-year-old. And your mom's like, well, that guy is going to jail now.
Jail.
And they would. And they would just go to jail for a long time.
There'd be no choice. No.
No. No matter how many times you're like, I wanted to fight them. They'd be like, that's a kid. He's not allowed to fight.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. And like, the worst part is like, thinking about it, I wasn't even like the toughest kid on the block for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I was very picky and choosy with like, you know, who I would square up with and stuff.
Oh, you're like Mayweather at the end where he was like picking his fights so he can stay undefeated.
Bro, one time I fought two guys at the same time because I said if they're shorter than my shoulders, I'll take two. And fucking, I did, bro, and it was crazy.
Did you beat them both up?
Fucking, I didn't beat them up, but I won the fight.
Okay.
I won the fight. Okay. Yeah. Fucking, I was lucky, bro, fucking.
Like, because wasn't Bruce Lee only like 5'5"?
You know what? I don't know, but I believe that.
Yeah. I don't know. I only know because of, like, Enter the Dragon with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's, like, so little.
For sure, dude. For sure. No, that's fucking Bruce Lee movies. Bruce Lee movies, man. Fucking, I was trying to show my girl, which is the one. Not it's the one where he goes to the island and fucking he fights Chuck Norris.
Ooh, which one is that?
And then the dude who gets scratched in the chest is that scratches him, the bear claw guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that one because that was kind of what broke Chuck Norris too into those sidekick movies.
Yeah, fucking. I tried showing my girl that the
you
other
know
day.
Who doesn't want to see that? I can tell you right now is your girl.
Dude, no, 100%, bro. She was not down.
I always try to show my girl stuff like that, and she's like, okay. Like, yeah. I feel like a little kid showing my mom. I'm like, mom, and then this, and she's just trying to act interested because exactly. she loves me. Exactly. And then she's like, okay, can we never talk about that again?
Right, yeah. for sure.
Do you get
sure.
that out of your system to show me karate movies for an hour?
Dude, yeah. Oh, man. Like, I'm lucky that she tied on to Cobra Kai.
Okay.
Because I made her watch all the Karate Kids before we watched Cobra Kai.
Yeah, but those have a plot. Like, Bruce Lee movies have no plot. Yeah, it's just fighting and fighting.
Yeah, but just adrenaline, dude.
It's like, I tried to show my girl, this was like 3 weeks ago, we watched the Tyson series, and she's like, he's like a bad dude. And I'm like, right? Do you want to watch this knockout collection of him? And she's like, absolutely not. And right. I'm like, well, that's what we're doing.
Exactly, dude. That's funny,
and
man.
Then we would just watch a 30-minute supercut of Mike Tyson knockouts, and she couldn't have had less fun.
Dude, that's funny. Yeah, no, see, girls aren't into the fighting stuff.
No, like, not I at all. That shit, but bro. I still want to show her. Because yeah, you live with your girl, right? She lives here. Yeah. It's like the only person around, so you still want to show them. You're like, she's not going to like this. Right. But I need her to watch this because I really want to.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. And like, because... You know, hold on, check it out. Before we've gone on a great tangent. I'm excited for this. But check it out. Let me introduce the people to who you are real quick.
Oh yeah, I exist.
Fucking, dude, that was see, this is so much fun, bro. I'm glad we're hanging out. Fucking, we gotta hang out more. Now that I know that you live hella close.
I'm right down the street.
We gotta kick it.
I walked here because I'm fat.
For sure. Hell yeah, dude. No, that's wild. Yeah, less than a mile, I'd say.
It's a little over a mile, but yeah.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, shout out, man.
Because I walk, so I'm counting. I'm like, it's probably like a mile and a half. It's not. It's about a mile, okay. But I want to feel like I walked more.
Right, dude. That's funny, man. The so I met you through Zach.
Yes.
Your first comedy. You came and you did a show with us, and you were hella funny.
Where did we...
Actually, no. I think it was a Cosmic show.
It was a Cosmic show in Valencia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking dude, that Valencia room. Actually, you know what? I think you were there the night. Did you see my set that night? Do you remember?
Because
I think that was the night I did 3 minutes.
Yes. It was your first night with them.
Yeah.
Because I was on book. And then you came to the next one, too, because we did it like 2 nights in a row.
Yeah, for sure.
It was like Redwood and then there.
Oh, that's
Redding.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, the Redlands.
Yes, Redlands.
Redlands, man. Damn. Yeah. That,
there's so many places in California with red in the name.
Dude, for sure.
Yes.
Man,
the Redlands.
Sure. Yeah, the that one was far, man. That one was far. You didn't do the Palm Springs room with us, did you?
I've done the Palm Springs room. I don't think you were there. That's the vault, right?
Yeah.
The weed lounge?
Yeah, for sure.
That
okay,
place
cool.
was in, I headlined that once, and it was insane. It was my favorite thing in the world, just the whole setup of it.
Yeah. Actually, real quick, can I get the...
Yeah. What am I doing wrong?
I'm just holding mine.
Okay.
Because it's not adjustable. If you want, you can just kick it.
Oh, okay.
Kick it and he'll hang out.
Cool. Maybe I was just holding it because I don't know. No, I'm good.
Just out of habit?
Out of habit for like a mic stand?
Right, no, yeah. 100%. Here. You can sit back where you were.
Okay.
I'm just going to have it back. Be comfortable. How are you going to be comfortable?
Okay, cool. Yeah, like this.
Cool, for sure. And then I'll adjust it and then you can just stay right there.
All right, cool.
Boom. Yeah, don't worry about leaning in too much.
All right. I've been doing this for so long, I still don't know how microphones work.
For sure. No, don't even trip. It's just because this one, it's a little more sensitive.
Okay.
This, because I have it recording.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom. And we... Oh, he wasn't even on the way up, so that's my fault. He was leaning for sure. I should have checked that before. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
I sincerely apologize.
No, it's all good.
Right on. So we're back.
We're back
after technical situations.
We had a technical
man.
Situation,
that's what the fuck
guys.
Is up.
I messed up. I don't know how microphones work. I've only been doing this for so long. Still no idea. You just talk at them, and sometimes the audio doesn't work, and sometimes it's mostly my fault.
For sure. No, I'd be like that. You got a big voice.
Thank you.
You got a big voice,
I try
and
to,
fucking
yeah,
use
the,
it well.
The presentation voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we met there. You had just started again, right? Because you started right before the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it was like you're back into it. And then that's when we met.
And it was cool because, Zach met me before before the pandemic.
Okay.
And I had just started doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had booked him on the shit show. I was working. I worked the door at the shit show. So before I even started going up, I was running. I was working the door for a comedy show.
Okay.
So I was always around it and stuff.
Yeah, you're involved.
Yeah, and I've always loved comedy, man.
Yeah,
I've always loved comedy. Like the first special I ever saw was George Carlin at Carnegie Hall.
Hell yeah.
I was in fourth grade.
Okay.
Fucking dude.
Yeah, that shapes you. That makes you be like, oh, you can say this stuff and people like it?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh my God. Talking about getting into a fight with his fucking Rice Krispies.
I think my one I saw when I was, again, like these specials, like seeing them too young and being like, it makes you like, you can say anything now.
Yeah.
Was Chris Rock's Bigger and Blacker.
Okay, hell yeah.
Where it was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
You can say that stuff?
Right, yeah. Dude. No, it's gnarly, man. Yeah.
And when, like, you're a kid, because you're told, like, you have to talk like this, and this is how grown-ups talk, and then you see a comic, and you're like, oh, we can throw all that right out the window.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All of it, dude. I want to figure out how to do that.
Yeah,
man.
How does that happen?
Exactly. When did you start doing comedy?
I started, like, 10 years ago.
Okay.
It was originally, because this is, I mean, obviously, we've talked about it. My uncle is Louis Anderson. So my uncle is a comedian.
You know what? I didn't realize he was your uncle. I thought you guys were just like homies.
No, he's my great uncle.
Oh, man.
I had not met him before comedy.
Okay.
So I'll tell you this story, like how we got hooked up. So I started comedy. Again, I grew up watching comedy in the 90s, 36 now. So that was like Friday night Comedy Central half hours. We'd always do it as a family. My mom would order pizza. We'd watch Comedy Central half hours. So like Dane Cook, Patton Oswalt, Mark Maron, Nick Schwartzen, all these people. And that was like what I wanted to do. And I had an uncle who was like the great ahead of them. So he was already doing theaters when these guys were making it.
Yeah.
And I'd never met him because he's my great uncle. He's my grandma's brother. Wanted to do comedy, did it as a bucket list thing. I signed up for some local contest, won it. And I was like, oh, I think I'm going to keep doing this.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Then 6 months into comedy, I was emceeing on the border. I lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So on the border of Minnesota and Wisconsin, I was emceeing this wine bar. And you see me, I work relatively clean.
Mm-hmm.
And this booker was booking Louie for a summer festival and had no money to pay the MC. He saw that I was a clean MC. And he was like, do you want to work for the Louie Anderson for $0? Not knowing that we're related. And I was like, hell yeah.
Oh, man.
And that's how me and Louie hooked up.
Whoa.
And then he ended up watching my set and liking me and then kind of took me under his wing. And then by the end of it, me and him were best friends. I lived with him throughout the pandemic. I'll say it on the podcast. This is probably the first time I've ever said this publicly. I was the only one who knew he was sick with cancer. I was there when he was diagnosed.
Oh, shit.
And then, like, he didn't want anybody to know, so I had to just, like, hold that in my scary chest.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So I hung out with him so much, and then we became best friends. And it was cool. I traveled the country opening for him. It was great. Learned a ton about comedy.
Oh, man. That's crazy. So that was when you guys met. So how did it come about? Like, oh, hey, you're grandma's brother.
Well, that gig, I called my grandma, and I was like, hey, can I get Louis's number? And I was like, I should probably tell him before I get there that we're related and that I'm opening for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, can I call you? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, you're performing in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And he goes, yeah, do you want tickets? No problem. I can get you taken care of. I'm like, actually, I'm opening. And he was like, how the hell did that happen? Like, he wanted to make sure I wasn't like, I'm related to Louie. I need to open. You've never seen me. And I'm like, oh, the guy, he doesn't know that we're related or anything. I didn't bring that up. I didn't feel like I should have because I don't know you. But I just work clean and he needed an MC. Is that all right? Are you bringing your own opener? Like, because I didn't know how any of it worked.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not stepping on any toes, right? Because the producer booked me.
Right.
And he's like, no, I told him to book openers. You're the opener he wants. All right, let's do it.
Oh, man.
Excited for it. Yeah.
That's cool, dude. That's cool. So what year? 2007?
2012.
2012? Okay.
Yeah, so about 10 years
ago. Yeah, that's bad math. Jesus Christ. What? Yeah. 2017, Damon? Come on. Whew, okay.
Yeah, 2012 is about when I started.
Right on. That's what's up, dude. See, yeah, so because when you were listing the Comedy Central specials, the only place I watched Comedy Central was over at my grandparents' house.
Okay.
I had three younger siblings. So usually if I was going to watch TV, it had to be something appropriate for the three younger ones.
Yeah.
So a lot of Nickelodeon, dude, lot of Boomerang and shit. Also, mom was like not really down with like letting me watch a whole lot. I wasn't allowed to watch Power Rangers growing
up. See, I have such a weird mom, and I've talked about this recently with friends. My mom let us watch whatever we wanted all the time. And I just recently asked her about it during the holidays. I was like, you let us watch South Park. She let me watch South Park when South Park was new. I was like 9.
Oh, man.
When South Park was like, they're trying to ban it everywhere.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just didn't want you guys to be socially inept. She's like, yeah. I wanted you guys to understand sarcasm. I wanted you guys to understand satire and comedy and
yeah,
the way people talk and stuff like that. She's like, I didn't want to shelter you from anything because I felt like it was helpful.
Yeah. That's cool. So did she was down with comedy.
So down with comedy. She's still a big comedy fan. My mom listens to Your Mom's House. My mom watches every Netflix special.
Hell yeah, dude.
My mom is...
Your mom's cool as fuck.
My mom's a huge comedy fan.
Hell yeah. Your Mom's House is fucking one of my favorite podcasts.
I listen to it on the way here. It's my favorite too.
Dude, that's
what's up. But
it's
so crazy that my mom is a mommy.
Yeah. Oh, dude, 100%, yeah. Bro. Rocking the jeans, baby. Yeah.
My mom has a Cool Moms Christina P. t-shirt that she wears all the time.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, we got her to her for Christmas.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Shout out mom, dude.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, man, Your Mom's House. Fucking, I love that podcast. That's actually one of the few podcasts that I watch on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not a... I've always been into voices and, like, talking and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, going back to, like, staying at my grandparents' house when I was younger... They would watch The Tonight Show, and I just loved just seeing people converse, dude.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember I also in fourth grade, I don't know when I had seen the George Carlin in comparison to this, but I didn't even realize at the time that David Letterman was a comedian. But I wrote, fucking, you know, in the morning, what's your favorite thing about summer? What do you want to do when you grow up? Write a paragraph about this. I wrote that I wanted to fucking host the David Letterman show.
That's really cool.
I was like, oh, man, this is fucking awesome. And then I remember, and then one night, I forget who it was. It might have been Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald or Hedberg.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy just came out and talked. Like, he just told jokes? What the hell? Like,
you can just do crazy. That? Yeah.
And then it was like, yeah, he's a comedian. You know, like Eddie Murphy. Like, he used to do comedy, too. And... you know, they just kind of put me on like, oh yeah, all the Saturday Night Live stuff that we watch. A lot of those guys, like they do stand-up comedy and like, that's just something they do. I was like, whoa, crazy.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's like probably how it came up.
You realize that all these people you like in movies and like on Saturday Night Live, they're all comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's wild, man. It's wild. Like fucking being introduced to all that. Cause yeah, dude, I was way too young to be learning about what George Carlin thought about lacrosse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I tried repeating that shit at school, dude. And all my friends were looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about,
Damon? Yeah, because they don't get it, and you're not saying it right. I've definitely had that where I'm trying to repeat bits back.
Yeah.
And doesn't translate.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, that's the way it goes, dude. It's the game. And it's cool looking back on all that.
Yeah, but that was kind of the cool thing with growing up, but doing comedy the last 8-9 years with Louie, is, like, I'd get to hang out with him and his friends, and I get to hear like how Letterman struggled, how all these guys struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it makes comedy seem more obtainable.
Yeah.
Cause like I've sat down with my uncle and Dice and Bob Saget and they've talked about being too poor to eat.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, all these guys with millions and millions of dollars were all me at one point in time.
Yeah. No, exactly, dude. Yeah. Yeah. You know, for me, it was I'm a big Joey Diaz fan.
Yeah.
Joey Diaz is. His podcast is why I got into comedy.
Okay.
Because, you know, I was around it and, you know, being around comedy, you know, you never, they say all the time, oh, yeah, just go to an open mic. Yeah, dude, just sign up. And it's like, okay, bro, like, sure, we're paying you fucking money and giving you a bag of weed right now. Sure, yeah, it's easy. Like, fucking, you mean something.
Yeah.
And then fucking listening to Joey Diaz, like, yeah, you just gotta fucking sign up. And even if you don't fucking do this forever, you make a couple friends that you can joke around however you want with. And you just do it for fun. And if you end up doing it like forever, awesome. And I was like, oh, all right. So fucking signed up for an open mic and was at a coffee shop. Like actually all the way up Los Robles on like New York or something.
Okay.
Towards like Altadena.
Okay.
Some coffee shop signed up for the open mic. Did it. And I was like, oh, fucking yeah. Now I just got to keep signing up and like
that's the problem with it, and that's the difference between a lot of people like wanting to do it and then doing it is you get bit that first time on stage. When you sign up and do it, you're like, oh, this is what I need to do.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, and since then, it's all I think about.
Yeah, well, that's how I was too. That first contest I won, and I was like, oh, I'm riding this till the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
Like, I was just already like, I'm done with everything I've done up until this point. Uh-huh. This is what I do now.
Man.
This is what I do. And I was in the, kind of like you, I was in the back of an Ethiopian restaurant in downtown Minneapolis. It was the first time I went on stage.
Oh, shit.
It was a contest. The prize was a $15 bar tab.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
It was like two drinks.
Yeah.
And I was a king after I won that. I was like, this is the best.
Right. Oh, man, that's crazy. Yeah. Are you comedy full-time?
No. I still have a job.
Right on, for sure.
I'm full-time some months, and then I have a job some months.
Okay, right on.
So I think I'm just... And it's one of those things, like, I'm in your home, and you have a nice home, and you live in it with your girlfriend. I could be full-time if I didn't want to have a living room, if I wanted to live in a house, in an apartment with four dudes.
Yeah.
But I'm 36. Like, I live with my girl.
Yeah.
We like nice things. We want to go on a vacation here and there.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll keep a job as well, just so I can live a real grown-up lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and, you know...
And I don't like my real job isn't that great. I went to college for hospitality and restaurant management.
Oh, love it.
So I'm just a bartender. I just bartend part-time.
Yeah. Fire, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like an easy job, make some good money, and then don't have to have a set schedule.
Yeah.
My boss is totally cool comedy.
Dude, that's so sick.
I've taken 2 months at a time off, and he's like, dude, that's great.
Okay,
I've been like,
man.
Dude, I'm on the road for 2 months. I remember this. I went up to him in August. I was like, I'm going to need all of October and November off. And he's like, hell yeah. Like, he was never like, dude, man. You got to choose. You got to care about this place. He was like, dude, you need 2 months off? And I'm like, yeah, book 2 months. Is that all right? And he goes, hell yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, it's just,
dude.
He's so down with it and stuff. Yeah. That's what I like about LA too, is that people have dreams. So they're like, all right, chase them.
Yeah, man. See, I'm super blessed right now. Like, the job, I just got a new day job. I was managing an ice cream shop for a little while.
Okay.
That was fun. And he was down with the schedule. He was like, yeah, fucking just try. He was trying to keep labor costs down.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, you can only work 15 to 20 hours? Cool, dude. As long as you get everything fucking handled, like, do whatever you gotta do.
As long as you get it done, I'm cool.
Yeah. And fucking they closed down, just, you know, business wasn't doing too good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at a food hall. So it's a bunch of different places.
Okay.
So there's a spot that was gonna open up. They were in a smaller stall and they moved into a bigger one. So I went over there, I was like, hey yo, so no one knows this yet, but I'm pretty sure it's gonna be wrapping up. Like, are you guys hiring? She goes, oh my god, yeah. Like, totally. So before I went up to her, they would always just come over to me and I would just give them free ice cream.
Yeah.
Talk all kinds of shit about my boss. Fucking talk about doing comedy the nights before. I throw raves. Fucking talking about that shit. And just, they knew me as like the ice cream guy who was chasing his dreams.
Yeah.
So I'm there and she's like, okay, so cool. Like, what's your comedy schedule? I'm like, you think I have a comedy schedule?
Hell yeah.
Cool. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's when I have shows. She was like, are you cool till like 3? And I was like, oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah, see, sometimes people care about your dreams.
Yeah, and she was like, yeah, no, she, it's the best, man, having, like, a supportive system.
Yeah.
And, like, going back to, like, you know, talking about living with your girl, I love my girl, dude. We've been together 8 years, we're engaged, we're getting married in September.
Hell yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. I tell all the homies, yo, do not fall in love, because it will fuck up everything, every plan you have, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's fucking awesome, and I'm glad I did it, and it's cool, because... You know, like you said, I could live with four dudes in an apartment and fucking just road dog it, dude. You know what I mean? And just fucking grind.
Terrible.
But yeah, not down, dude.
Yeah.
Not down. I get to fucking go eat with a chick that I like hanging out with. We like the same things.
Yes.
You know, she's stoked for what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm cool fucking, you know, with a job and fucking still grinding out and making sure, like, one thing's set. When comedy can fucking maintain all that. Fucking cannot wait.
Don't get it twisted. That's right where I'm at. So it's really fun. The Amazon thing just came out. I'm sure that's gonna get me booked more.
Dude, yeah, so, let's talk about that.
Yeah. So this has been a thing that was whole time I lived in LA. This has been 4 years in the making. So I auditioned to do the show Laugh After Dark into its third season. They did a really cool audition process. You sent in a video, like any of these, you know, stand-up TV shows. Mm-hmm. And then they picked the top 50, and they had four live shows. And then they picked their favorite 12 to shoot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so basically, so that was the cool thing, because they weren't just looking at a tape. It was like, all right, let's get you in front of a crowd now, because we like you 50. Let's see who can really kill.
Yeah.
And then they booked through that. It was supposed to shoot... This is a crazy story. It was supposed to shoot March 17th of 2020, the week everything shut down because of the pandemic.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So here's how this whole thing went. It was that Friday. I was supposed to shoot that Thursday. COVID's getting bad. Louis was in L.A. Louis lives in Vegas. He was in L.A. shooting some TV. Supposed to fly home Friday. He called me and he's like, yo, dude. What do you got going on? And I'm like, I'm just hitting stages till Thursday. I'm doing 3 to 4 sets a night, running my 10 minutes, and then shooting Thursday. That's all I'm doing is just comedy, comedy, comedy. He's like, here's the deal. I need a favor from you, but I really need it. Guilt trip me, basically. He's like, I'm old and I'm fat and I have breathing problems. This COVID stuff, it's killing people like me. I can't fly. I cannot fly home to Vegas. I'm going to get sick. Here's the deal. You drive me home today. I will make sure you have a spot on the strip every day up until your special taping. I will take you to the mall. I will buy you an outfit and shoes for your special taping. I'll get you all set.
Oh, man.
I'm like, all right. So he's making calls in the car. I'm driving him to Vegas. I do the Laugh Factory. I do Jimmy Kimmel's. And then that Monday, everything shut down. So they shut down production.
Fuck.
Luckily, they brought it back when the pandemic ended, shot it in Vegas. So I shot it in 2021.
And, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. And then it went through a few different distribution channels. Like, it kept getting bought and dropped and stuff like that. The production team, Kelsey and Robert are the best. They're the producers. They did everything they could to keep it going and to get it out.
Hell yeah.
And it was fantastic. Like, these producers believed in comedy, loved comedy, and they made sure it came out. And it's finally out.
Yeah.
They put our clips out when they were still working with distribution, and then they finally got it out on Amazon Prime and my sets on YouTube. It just feels so good to have it out.
Oh, dude, that's what's up, man. Yeah. That's what's up. Dude, yeah, what a milestone. Congratulations.
Thank you. It feels cool. Like I said, it was so long in the making because we got booked, and all 13 of us are so stoked that we get to shoot, for most of us, their first TV special.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pandemic shuts it down for a year and a half.
Right.
And then Robert and Kelsey email us a year and a half later and are like, hey, we haven't given up on you. You haven't given up on us. We're shooting this now that we can shoot.
Yeah.
And then we got to shoot it. It was a sold out crowd the night I shot. It was fantastic. I had a bunch of friends fly in. My mom flew in. It shot in Vegas.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Big Dog was sick by that time. That was when Louis had cancer.
Right.
He tried everything he could to come. Now I'm going to talk about this. Let's do it. He wanted to come to my special taping. He hired like a mobility crew because he wasn't walking good.
Right.
He's older, he had cancer. Couldn't come. Called Kelsey, made her FaceTime him so he could watch me during my taping.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I got off stage and I walked around backstage because there's four of us taping that night.
Mm-hmm.
So the hostess bring up the next comic. She came into my dressing room and gave me her phone and me and him chatted.
Oh, man.
So it was really cool. It was a really cool moment.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah. And how long were you doing comedy before you and him linked up?
7 months.
Okay. Also, fucking, he brought you through the ringer and he...
Yeah. I learned how to be great from working his crowds because that's a double-edged sword with someone big like that, like a Joey Diaz or my uncle or Bill Burr. All these fans, they are there to see that guy.
Right.
And Louis fans are older, so they're there to see Louis. They don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
And then I have to come out there and do 20 of warm-up, and they could care less.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn how to get people who didn't want to see me to like me.
Yeah.
So it was a grind in itself to, like, learn how to take someone's crowd and make them like you.
Yeah, no, for sure, dude.
I remember it took me, like, 2 good years. It was a New Year's Eve. He always does New Year's Eve back home in Minneapolis, 1,500-person theater. He does 2 shows that night and sell out every time. I had just started working the road on my own without him, too, and I got really good. I was out every day. I got real good. I was so excited for New Year's.
Yeah.
And he's always given me a ton of advice. I went out. I got 3 applause breaks in my 15-minute set. I was on top of the world. Yeah. 1,500 people. I'm like, finally, this is going to be the time I don't get off stage and Louis has notes. Because every time we worked together, he was so cool, but he was hard on me. He wanted me to be the best. Mm-hmm. So every time I got off stage, he had notes. He would change 2 words in my set and make it better. Mm-hmm. He would just have notes and beat me down.
Yeah.
I got these applause breaks and I was just in my head. I'm like, this is what killing is. Yeah. This is what killing is. And I bring him out. I go, ladies and gentlemen, Louis Anderson. He comes out with his mic. I put my mic down. I give him a hug when I bring him on. And he just whispers in my ear. He goes, see what happens when you listen to me? Kill. And I was like, oh, finally I got the compliment. Finally. Because I used to get, I'll see you out there. I'll tell you what I liked, what I didn't. And then he just went, kill. And I
was like, man.
Hell yeah.
Dude.
Finally.
Yeah. Damn, what a mentor. What a fucking road to go down.
Yeah.
Dude. And that's exact. And see, so many people, like, when they get into this, you know, there's so many different routes that people can take. But there are fucking formulas that work. There's no path. There's no step-by-step anything. But there are formulas that fucking, when you mix formulas, that's math, baby.
Yeah.
You just got to mix formulas. And everyone who's great has a formula.
Yeah, there's no straight way, but there is common denominators behind what everybody does.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And see, one thing that's been really cool about hanging out with Zach, mm-hmm. who's he's really helped fucking, you know, hey, you're doing this. Hey, change this.
That's
hey,
what you need. You need, you know, someone to say that to you.
Right. And even on those nights where you do good,
yeah,
you know, it's like, oh, fucking cool. This was nice. Yeah, fucking a lot of this. And it's like, all right, cool, for sure. And then finally, when it was like, hey, see, fucking this is you did everything you needed to do.
Yeah. You checked the list off. Now you feel good. And you're like, oh, that's what feeling good is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's crazy, man. And then also, like, you know, learning, you know, just the steps of comedy. And like even Joey Diaz talked about it. And a lot of advice, like, I always take it back, like, Diaz said that. Joey Diaz said that for sure. Like, okay, cool. Like, I'll take that for sure. You know what I mean? And like the whole development of, you know, having a character, you know, understanding your voice, shit like that. Working with someone who's like already kind of figured that out.
Yeah.
It's cool to be able to jump right into it. You know, you were 6 months in and now it's like, okay, cool. I got a real fucking mentor.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not fucking getting pimped out by these fucking pay to plays, the bringer shows, stuff like that. And like, cause like right now I got buddies that are, you know, doing, you know, a lot of stuff with like slotted companies. Or slotted brands.
The slotted pay-to-play stuff?
Yeah, which is cool. And
it's great. And like I said, when I was hitting 4 mics a night for my special taping, mm-hmm. you better believe 2 of them were $5 slotted.
Hell yeah.
Because I know I can get up. I know I'm going to get the time. And all I really want to do is run through it so I don't flip over my words.
Right.
That's all I'm trying to do. I don't care if you guys laugh. The 2 other places I'm going to are going to have crowds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And see, that's the fun part. And I think I kind of, maybe not necessarily burn bridges, but like, kind of made myself look a type of way. Because mm-hmm. not that I wouldn't take them seriously, but there'd be times where I'd go in and me and my friends would just roast each other.
Yeah.
For 5 minutes. And it's like, you know what, man? I paid my $5. This is what I want to do with my $5. I'm having fun with my boys.
And the thing with the pay to play is there is no one who should give you shit about that. That's the thing.
Right.
You paid the $5. You went mm-hmm. up. And also, that could help you in a different way. I was talking to a friend about this exact thing you were talking about. That's going to help you with crowd work. So that's not hurting you at all. You roasting your friend on stage for 5 minutes that you paid for, mm-hmm. that's going to come in handy when you're in, you know, Redlands or in one of these places and you have a drunk heckler. You'd be like, oh, this reminds me of when I was messing around with my friend. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. It gets the crowd on your side. Boom. You did learn something.
From that. Exactly, yeah. Dude. Exactly.
Because like you said, there's no right way with comedy. I've had gigs. I toured the Midwest mm-hmm. was where I started.
Yeah.
Just drunk farm workers, construction workers. You've seen my character upstage. I'm very timid. I'm very, you know, one of my friends said I'm an alpha beta.
That's hilarious, dude.
He's like, you're the king of sissy guys.
And that's, I was like, awesome.
And I've wanted to use that a little more. But yeah. And it's like, yeah. But that's so hard to get all these like roughneck oil workers to get mm-hmm. on my side right away.
Right.
When I go up in a cardigan mm-hmm. and a t-shirt and they're like,
they're like, homo.
Yep,
and
right
I'm like,
away,
I'm
dude.
Not, but I kind of look like one. I get that.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I get it, but...
Right.
Yeah.
That's
and
funny,
I've learned
dude.
How to work with the crowd like that, how to shut them down and,
yeah.
and keep them on my side.
Yeah.
And you get that from messing around with your friends, roasting your friends and stuff.
Right.
Because it's just a skill.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And see, like, I don't really get to that side of town too often.
Yeah.
So, like, I would only do those sometimes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, people who are... really hammering in, fucking hitting those and paying their spots or for their open mic spots. It creates that community of like, oh, okay, cool. Like you're just in this circle.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of times it, I could be wrong and maybe I'm speaking out of hand a little bit just with, but from my experience, I've noticed a lot of people are trying to skip steps.
Yeah.
And they don't develop characters.
Well, this is LA. They're trying to just get a good 5 minutes and then hopefully get on TV.
Right.
I think it's like a lot of, and I see that a lot of the pay to play stuff too. It's a lot of people who aren't doing comedy, who aren't comedians, who were told by an acting coach or UCB or an improv thing to maybe try stand up. And then they're going to these, they don't have a character. Mm-hmm. This is huge. I love talking about this. This is my favorite thing. This is one of Louis' biggest pieces of advice. I love talking
Hell yeah.
about this.
Hell yeah.
Is the developing character and stuff. You'll see people go up on stage and they'll just talk about things they see. Like they'll be like, oh, cups are weird or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You don't learn anything about them, which makes them easily forgettable. That
right.
was Louis' huge advice. And there's big comics like that. I mean, I can use his name because he's so blacklisted forever now. But like a guy like D'Elia.
Mm-hmm.
D'Elia goes up and he talks about like pop culture things and things he thinks are cool, but it's never things that are like about him. He did in his later special, which I really liked,
mm-hmm.
but like his initial special, it was more like point of view stuff. It was just like observation
stuff. Yeah.
And if you don't have a point of view behind it, you're easily forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
You should be talking about things that mean stuff to you. That was Louis' always biggest advice to me. He's like, if it doesn't mean anything to you, the crowd's going to know right away. They're going to be able to tell, and you're not going to be funny. It can work for a little bit.
Yeah.
For 5 to 10 minutes, you can get up and talk about trees. You can talk about hammocks. You can talk about whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny for a little bit, but it's not going to prolong a career. It's not what stand-up is.
Yeah. Yeah, because why are these people going to care about your opinion if they don't know you, man?
Yes. That's the whole thing. Is they have to know who you are to mm-hmm. have your opinions. You know everything about Joey Diaz because mm-hmm. of his stand-up. That's
right.
the whole thing, is you like Joey Diaz because you like him as a person.
Right.
But if Joey Diaz just talked about airplane food, you would not give a shit.
Yeah, like this guy's really mad about this Subway
steak. I don't know who he is, but he does not like Subway. That's for sure. That's all
right,
I know
exactly,
about him. Yeah.
Dude.
But you know their inflections. You know a lot about the people, and that's what makes stand-up cool, and that's what learning who your voice is. We all have our voice. It's just being brave enough to be it on stage, to go up in front of people and be open.
Right.
And be like, here's who I am. Here's my weird opinions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Burr, like all the weird stuff Burr does. Bill Burr's my favorite comedian.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
And just like how he goes up there and he's like, you guys aren't going to like this opinion, but it's mine. And I wish it was better. But like goes up and says stuff like that. And you're this is awesome because he's being so vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The vulnerability on stage is what finding your voice and I love about it.
Yes, dude.
It's just going up there and it's no parachute. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to say some things that I believe in and they are probably not right. They are probably not PC.
Right.
Also, they might not be things that any of you guys like, but they're my thing.
Yeah.
And here's why I think they're funny. And you'll get the crowd involved because the crowd will like you because you're being open. You're being for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, and the thing like Burr is people who are going at this point, everyone who goes to see him, they know exactly what the fuck is about to happen.
Yeah.
So even though he's saying, you're probably not going to like this, I'm going to fucking love it because that's this fucking crazy shit is what I came here for.
Well, have you ever heard him talk about that? I forgot what it might have been his podcast or it was a Joe Rogan podcast. But he talks about when he first start working clubs, when people don't know you and they're just coming to a comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every game's an away game.
Yeah.
But once you once you get your crowd in like Bernau doing a theater, he's like every game's a home game.
Yeah.
Because everybody there is on board.
Right.
But when you're doing it in a club, when you're an opener and stuff, nobody's on board.
Yeah.
You go up and they're like, all right, prove why we should watch you.
Yeah, exactly, dude. And that's
what cutting your teeth is. That's how getting good is. Is you go up there,
dude.
And you're like, here I am.
I got to make you like me now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the difference between doing it with real people and real crowds and cutting your teeth that way, as opposed to
performing in front of comics.
Yeah.
Who don't want to watch you because they want to just
do their spot.
They're worried about their spot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And like, oh, they brought their three friends. Like, cool. Maybe all eight comics brought three of their friends, but none of those people give a fuck except for your three friends.
Yeah.
So they're just going to fucking be waiting until their friend comes up.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. And like, granted, I could be wrong, and there's always people who are there for a good time and stuff like that, but it's a different workout.
Yeah, go up and that's the real thing with that. Go up and win their friends.
Yeah, win their friends.
Yeah, your friends are already there to see you. Mm-hmm. Don't try to impress them. Don't be like, oh, it's because Brad shit his pants in fourth grade. No, go up there and talk about shit you like. Don't bring up Brad who's there to see you, because you want to win their friends and their friends and their friends.
Right.
Comics aren't going to buy tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
They're never going to come see you. No comic's going to come see you.
Mm-hmm.
But their friends might.
Right, exactly. Exactly, because they're there, and if they're at their friend's comedy show, it's because they like comedy.
Yes.
And if they like comedy,
they're going to go to other shows.
Exactly.
And now that they saw you, and you were hilarious, they're like, oh, now I like this guy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it works out, man. Fucking, the game is a beautiful thing, dude. And another cool thing is, like, coming from, like, the entertainment game already, like, being with in the music industry and stuff, I see so often, like, I've seen so many people skip steps and, like, you know, front when they shouldn't have. And pretend like, oh yeah, fucking, I'm ready for this, but they weren't. And then fucking later on down that line, fucking, it catches up to you.
That's been the crux of my entire career, my man. It's been a thing that a lot of people have been really, Zach especially, has been really cool about it. A lot of people didn't understand it, especially in the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
where everybody doesn't kind of, you know, everybody's trying to get there, but doesn't really have the path. They're not in LA or New York.
Yeah.
But like me having that quote-unquote ace in the hole with Louis being so famous, being everywhere. Mm-hmm. My whole goal was to never call him till I was ready, mm-hmm. was to never ask him for anything. Louis, 3 years in, would have called any club and told them I could headline.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. I knew I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a lot in me to not pull that trigger till I was ready.
Yeah.
Because I guess, I don't know if it was pride or if it was just my work ethic or who I was. But I was like, not only do I want Louis to call a club for me and them to be like, oh, you were good, thanks. I want them to call Louis and be like, what the hell? Thank you for sending. I don't want Louis to say thanks for booking my nephew. I want the club to be like, thanks for sending us a killer comic.
Yeah.
I don't want the thanks for doing this for me. I want to know thank you.
Right.
We love this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the best, man. Yeah. And
I never wanted it till I knew I could knock the walls off.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. And see, and that's the thing. Like, my buddies would tell me, like, you know, don't you want to come do these open mics so that they can book you for their whatever show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool, but, like, they always tell me, like, damn, you're just running the door again? Damn, it's just 5 minutes? Like, last week I did three minutes. It's like, what? You only did 3 minutes? I couldn't even get through like a premise in 3 minutes. And it's like,
yeah,
because I've been doing this fucking in a different space rather than fucking working on the whole setup and my opinion and, you know, all that. It's also
if you're a real comic, you can do 3 minutes, you can do 5 minutes, you can do 10 minutes. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. I still can do a killer 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. I do an hour on the road, but I'm not gonna be like, oh, only 3 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I'm still gonna be thankful about that time and I'm still gonna do it. I'm still gonna do it hard.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Dude, I just did so the Ontario Improv,
mm-hmm.
Shout out Adrian Luna. He runs the open mic over there and he organized a roast battle.
Okay, cool, yeah.
So I was an alternate for the roast battle. And actually, fucking earlier today, found out that fucking someone dropped out and I'm about to fucking go up against the other alternate.
All right.
Fucking for the spot.
Oh, nice.
February 7th. I'm fucking stoked.
Nice.
But.
You know what? I'm all about being an alternate. I just want to let you know, like Louis got me into some clubs here in LA, like,
mm-hmm.
like kind of in at the Laugh Factory. I'm kind of in a lot of places. Like. And by kind of, I mean, if four people pull out, they'll text me an hour before the show and be like, can you get here? I don't give a shit. Like, people are like, oh, I wish I had more time so I'd come to your show. And I'm like, I'm just happy to be there.
Right.
I'm happy that, you know, Ron Funches decided he didn't want to drive down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hell yeah, I'll do it. I'm on my way.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be there quick, dude. Yeah. So yeah, it worked out. And the whole thing was like, even as an alternate, you still got to show up.
Yeah.
And like just to, all right, man, you really into it?
Yeah.
So I went and I did the open mic.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've been to the Ontario Improv open mic.
I've not.
But they sell tickets to this, dude.
Yeah.
And it's a crowd. And like it's just the inside, like that first part and then the middle lip. Mm-hmm. But it's a crowd and they're all excited to be there. And because I wasn't on the roast battle, I got a spot on the open mic prior.
Nice.
And it was 3 minutes. And you can hear, like, because a lot of people they had a lot of people to go through. And with the roast battle,
yeah,
they were like, all right, we're only going to do 3 minutes. And you can see some people were like, what the fuck? 3 minutes. And in my head, I was like, I've done a handful of 3 minute sets for Zach.
Yeah. You're like, fucking, I got a killer three.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Yeah.
And I will never. I especially with comedy, because I care about comedy so much, I never want to say like, oh, it was this. But bro, I fucking dropped fucking big dick on that.
Hell yeah.
Fucking all 3 minutes were used fucking perfectly. Yeah. I trimmed just enough fat. I brought in a little bit of fat for this one. It worked out.
Yeah, so you could have the appropriate build ups. Yeah.
Exactly. And perfect. All three things that I wrote down that I wanted to fucking hit, I hit all three of them. Smash.
Doesn't that feel good?
Dude, it was awesome.
When you have the set built in your head and you're like, this is going to murder. And then it murders you. Like, this is what comedy is.
Yeah, man.
It's and that feeling of like, this is it.
Exactly. This is it. And the best part of it all, dude, everyone was there for the roast battle.
Mm-hmm.
After the roast battle, I go and I talk to a couple of the other comics. And then one of the judges, excuse me, I don't remember. Fuck, I'm blanking on his name. Big Hair. He runs Hilarious Comedy. Out in Orange County. I'll remember his name later.
Okay.
He was like, I told him, hey man, I don't know if you remember me. I was here with Zach. You opened up for Bruce Jingles' special.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh yeah, I remember you. Oh wait, you're from Pasadena, huh? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, dude, you're really funny. And I was like, I didn't even know you were in here for like the beginning part.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, yeah. And then like he told the other judge, he was like, yo, this is Pasadena. He was like, and then they were both like, oh bro, fucking you killed 3 minutes.
Hell yeah. Like, see, that's what it is. And you never know what you're going to get out of stuff like that. Because now those guys know you. And now those guys who run shows will probably have you on.
Right. Yeah. And I got booked. Yeah. I got booked for a fucking something in OC for it.
There you go. Yeah.
And off 3 minutes, dude.
Yeah.
And like just went up there and it was cool, dude. It was cool. Like fucking. And it's true what they say. Like I've been told by other people like, oh, bro, best part about comedy clubs is they're all there to laugh.
It's
better than doing a bar show because like some of these people don't know you're going to be there.
Yeah.
But at Comic Club,
they paid money. They want to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was fucking electric, dude. It was electric.
I see in Minnesota, in the Midwest, all the good club open mics always have a crowd. It's like the Ontario Improv. Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis. A lot of people record their albums there. But their open mic routinely sells out.
Oh, man.
300 seats.
Hell yeah, dude.
So like that 3 minutes you get there, or five if you move up like in the ranks.
Yeah.
Like that's the like creme de la creme. That's like the present in comedy in Minneapolis. What if you make that list? It's like potluck. Everybody signs up, they only let like 10 people on. So you get up like once every couple months. When you get on an Acme, you're like, oh
yeah.
I've been performing in bars for no one for months. Right, now I have this. These jokes that I believe in, and I'm going to go up and finally give them to a crowd. And it feels so cool.
Dude, it's the best feeling, man.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's cool. And, like, knowing that you have, like, okay, cool, this is it. And then having that recording, I've always been kind of bad at listening back to recordings.
Dude, you got to do it in your car.
That's
how I do it, because I won't sit down at my computer and listen to my sets.
Yeah.
But I will listen to them leaving the venue I just performed at.
Yeah. Boom.
I listen to it. I write, have notes record, memorized, and then I write them down, and then I start working on them again.
Yeah. There you go. See, I'll listen to it like right when I leave.
Yeah.
But then if I don't write notes and I tell myself like, I'll remember later, I never go back. But what I have started doing is like I'll let stuff play like during while I'm setting up for a podcast, I'll just let shit run.
Yeah. Cause
then it's cool. Cause like, okay, cool. I can pull from this and maybe I'll drop it if some assimilated comes up in the podcast, I'll fucking try to work this bit in.
Yeah.
And like just get another rep. You know what I mean?
That's why I'm doing the podcast just for bits.
That's exactly, dude. That's all it's been for, man. Oh, man. Where do you bartend when you...
I work at BJ's in Glendale.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah,
I do the lunch. I do lunches. I serve and bartend.
Dude, that's what's up, man.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Shout out BJ's.
Dude, 100%. The cherry soda?
Yeah.
Dumb, dude.
I drink a lot of black cherry soda.
Dude, do you really?
Not this year. That's why I'm drinking this thing, the sparkling ice. It has no calories.
Ah, there
you go. I'm trying not to drink calories.
Word.
That's what my diet is. I'm just drinking diet soda and diet stuff and water.
Word. Hey, that's the move, man.
That's what I've been just trying to do little by little.
Yeah. See, it's tough, bro. Like, yeah. I drink a lot of water now. I was really bad at it for a long time. And yeah, I was definitely drinking a lot of calories, dude.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, a lot of soda. I work somewhere that has a lot of good soda, so it's really easy.
Yeah,
and
dude.
And then I'm like, that's gross. Like, I'll think about it. I'll be like, in 6 hours, I had like four of them. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. Yeah. See, dude?
That's
and like, there'd be nights.
A lot of sugar. That's so bad for you.
Dude, I'll kill it because there's a 99 cent store down the street. I would kill a 3 liter of Shasta Tiki Punch.
Yeah, you should not do that.
Like, way too fast.
That's how
dude.
You get diabetes.
Yeah, dude. Gone in less than 2 days.
Yeah, that's not
no
good.
No bueno,
you.
Dude.
No.
No bueno. Like especially when it's cake. Only you doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like eating a whole fucking cake, bro.
Yeah, you finish it and then you like, you go to your girl and you're like, you had some soda too. And they're like, no.
No, I didn't have
like,
any
oh,
soda.
No.
Yeah, bro.
I drink that by myself.
Yeah.
That is not good.
See, what I've had to do recently is I only drink soda and juices on the weekends.
Yeah.
And like, unless I'm at a show, maybe I'll have like a, because I don't really drink alcohol, so I'll never get a beer or anything.
I don't either.
Yeah. See, yeah. So like, I'll usually get like a Sprite. Mm-hmm. If I'm like, if I'm nervous, I'll get a Sprite. Okay. But like, if, like, cause it'll kind of, it'll, you know, a little bit of sugar, a little something sweet for the heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Calm me down a little bit.
Exactly.
I know what you're talking about.
Exactly, dude. Exactly, bro. Yeah. It's real. If I'm like really nervous, maybe I'll get like a lemonade or something.
Yeah.
But it's usually like water and iced tea. And because, yeah, it's way too easy to just fucking guzzle down the sugar.
It is.
And then going back to Joey Diaz, he was talking about Weight Watchers in one of his episodes. And he goes, you know, if I eat 14 bananas, it's no points. But if I blend one banana and put it in my smoothie, that's 3 fucking points. Ugh. Fucking. So now you're thinking about all this shit. And when you're drinking it, I don't know what it is. Something in the saliva fucking helps break down food. But when you drink it, sugar just does different things. And since then, dude, I was like, oh, maybe I got to chill on the fucking soda,
dude. Yeah, maybe
dude.
I should stop drinking.
Yeah. That. And like, yeah, smoothies in the morning are great. Maybe just peanut butter.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah, just peanut
if
butter.
If you do all fruit and then like yogurt, it's a lot of sugar.
Yeah, dude.
It's like having, you should just have a donut.
Right. Yeah, might as well, dude. Might as well have just had a fucking donut.
Which I think about that when like, because I like to make parfaits.
Okay.
But I do them like really on how I'll put like honey and chocolate chips. And
hell yeah, dude.
Fruit. And then I'm like, this is good. And I'm like, I could just make eggs. I should just have eggs and turkey bacon because that's better for you.
Oh, dude. Yeah. No, it's see, whenever like I try to be good and like I'll make steamed rice and then I have like rice and some eggs for breakfast or rice and like some chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so easily, like I'll just be warming up the chicken and I don't know. I like cooking. So when
cooking.
I warm food up, I'll throw it on the pan, and I don't care if it takes 10 minutes as opposed to 2 in the microwave.
I'm the same way. I don't microwave shit.
Throw a little bit of fucking water,
yeah,
a little chicken broth
school.
In there.
I went to culinary school, man.
Oh, fucking really?
Yeah.
You know, you said culinary? I thought you said hospitality. And
I have a degree in hospitality and restaurant management, but I went to a culinary school.
Dude, no shit, brother.
I went to a Le Cordon Bleu school.
You just fucking unlocked it. Oh, fuck yeah, dude. You just unlocked another box, man, because I love food, bro.
Dude.
I love food.
We made chicken marsala last night, me and the girl, for dinner.
Oh, yes, dude.
So good.
I'm actually making marsala wings tomorrow for the homie, dude.
Yeah, we did chicken marsala, and then because we're on the healthy kick, we did cauliflower mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
cauliflower mash. Still put cream in it. Still kind of unhealthy. Still use cream, a lot of garlic, a lot of
hell yeah,
chives,
dude.
But it was good.
That's what's up,
and I was
man.
Like, at least the potatoes aren't in there.
Dude, yeah, no. Because
I poured
sure.
in a bunch of cream. My girlfriend's like, what are you doing? And mm-hmm. I'm like, no potatoes. I can put as much cream as I fucking want to.
Exactly, dude.
We're gonna... I'm like, we already got rid of one of them.
Exactly.
I'm like, in all honesty, if we would use potatoes, I would have still used this much cream. So
facts.
Yeah.
Facts, dude. Yeah. Oh, man.
Would you think I was going to use water with potatoes? No. Still this cream.
Right,
that's
dude.
Why it's in the fridge.
Oh, man. Are you a skillet guy?
Yeah.
Right on. See, I've been training my girl fucking to not wash my skillet.
Okay. Yeah, you just wipe it.
Just wipe it down, girl.
Just wipe the cast iron.
Yeah, and I tell her, like, if there's stuff stuck to it, put a little bit of water and turn that heat on.
Yeah.
And then it'll
come off.
Yeah, it always does, man.
And it seasons it, and it's a whole thing. You don't wash it.
Oh, man. I just started deep frying stuff recently.
Ooh.
So that's been a new adventure. Yeah. Doing wings. I didn't know that you could deep. It just has to be enough oil.
Yeah, it just has to cover it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a whole, like, deep fryer. You don't need, like, a Fry Daddy.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Remember,
dude.
Fry Daddies from, like, the early 2000s?
90s? Dude, fryer? Oh, man.
I don't know how we didn't burn the house down with that thing.
Dude,
we had
real.
One, and I was like, how did we not tip that over ever?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that shit has always scared me, bro.
Yeah.
Like, when, just the thought of frying stuff, I was never into, like, I always thought, I don't want to have that much hot oil. Like, just fucking
just
right
going.
There.
Yeah.
I've seen too many videos of turkeys fucking
exploding. Have you ever deep fried a turkey, though?
Never, but I had a deep fried turkey for the first time this past Thanksgiving.
How was it?
Fucking amazing, dude.
I've deep fried a turkey once with friends for Friendsgiving, and I'm gonna be totally honest with you, we got real high while we were deep frying it, and we ate the whole turkey with our hands.
Oh,
there was
yeah.
like 10 of us, and we got it out, and you're like supposed to let it rest, and we're all like, oh, we gotta taste a little bit of that deep fried skin.
Yeah.
And we all start biting it, and then we all just start eating it with our hands. It's 10 of us, and we all just look down. Half the turkey's gone. Sides are still put out. Like,
it was
in my mid-20s. It was, like, first time a friend had, like, a nice house.
Yeah.
So, like, we brought it sides. We had it all laid out nice. We're just eating the turkey with our hands, and I'm like, dude, we should get some sides.
That's hilarious,
because it turned into we all just wanted to bite a skin, and then we're like, yeah, a little more.
Oh, man, that's great, dude.
Yeah, deep-fried turkey. So good.
Dude, amazing.
Yeah.
It lives up to everything people have said.
Yeah.
It is the best
way. It's
burning
a house down.
Yeah, 100%. Dude, I would get a deep fryer just for that.
Yeah.
Fucking
you
100%.
You just use like a big metal pot.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Oh, there you go. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
big metal pot and then like a Sterno. Like
yeah, the little
thing.
Fucking
yeah.
single.
Yeah. We did it at my friend's garage in Minnesota in the winter.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. And then we smoked out the garage because the steam. And he's like, oh, I should open my garage. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
we're
probably.
In here, and there's a fucking turkey.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man, that's funny as fuck. Yeah. What's the herb situation in Minnesota? Is it legal out there?
This is the weird thing. They just legalized edibles.
Okay.
Edibles are the only thing legal. It's medical. You can get herb medically. But just edibles.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So weird.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, because I would argue edibles could be more dangerous.
Yes, and it's only small dose edibles. So I think the most, you can get 100 milligram bag, but they have to be 10 milligram edibles.
Oh, okay.
So just like, I guess in California, just like regular.
Yeah, regular. That's yeah. funny, dude.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you can only have 10 milligram. I'm like, yeah, that's like regular size.
Yeah, that's
you can't
funny.
Buy like a big one? And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, you have to buy like normal size?
Yeah, dude. No, it's crazy the way fucking shops have been. Like, I miss trap shops. If I ever go to a shop, fucking, I'm looking for a trap shop first. Because
those
guys... Is
there any
trap
shops in Pasadena?
You know what, brother? There are two of them. One of them is not listed. So I'm going to tell you about
we'll
that
We'll talk
one.
About... off yes. camera, we'll talk about trap shops. And then hit us both up on Instagram. We'll
and also, we're comedians. So, yeah. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah. By trap shop, we mean not real.
Right. Right. Oh,
I
man.
Love trap shops, dude.
Yeah, dude, because you can still get a 1,000 milligram cookie.
Yes, you can.
At these places, man. Fucking shout out the homie Skyler, bro. Fucking when I moved in with him, he was like, bro, got us a brownie, man. And I was like, 1,000 milligrams? It's way too much. He goes, no. I know it seems like a lot, but we'll be done with it by tomorrow night. And I was like, wait, what? And he goes, yeah, we just eat pieces of it. I was like, dude, no. But sure enough, every fucking couple hours, fucking
yeah, you're just
little piece.
You're just re-upping.
Fucking just, and dude, fucking by hour 9, we're over there fucking like just zombies. He's like, bro, just one more piece. And this guy is crazy, man. He had a volcano.
Yeah.
Oh, one of my favorite fucking weed stories, dude. Just goes to show how dangerous edibles are. Fucking, he had a volcano.
Guys, weed's dangerous. I just watched Reefer Madness. Have you ever watched Reefer Madness?
Oh, bro. Fucking, yeah.
I just watched it for the first time.
That's
me and my
gnarly.
Girl did. We smoked the peak. We did a bunch of dabs and watched Reefer Madness.
Oh, man. Dude, the piano guy freaked me out.
Yeah. He had weird eyes.
Yeah. That guy was not smoking weed.
No.
That guy was doing something
on a
else.
A 12-day bender.
Right, dude. Yeah. And he had that Chinese fucking snow with him for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he did.
It was not no fucking just weed, dog.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. But, Shoot. I'm high right now, so it's hard to fucking keep on fucking task. But dude, let's just go back to Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
Fucking when that shit was, I was super anti-weed growing up. Oh, fucking the edibles. Yeah, edibles are crazy, dude. First time I ever did weed, it was fucking an edible, and it was my senior year, and it fucking wrecked me, bro.
First time I had weed was an edible as well. My friend made ginger cookies. Oh. And I didn't smoke weed in Minnesota. I've always been like kind of sober. I've gotten into weed since I moved to LA. Mm-hmm. But I went to a taping of Doug Loves Movies.
Okay, sick.
And I had a whole cookie, which I can only guess now is probably 25, 30 milligrams. Uh-huh. And I was so fucking high.
Yeah. Man.
It's the best.
Dude, no, it's so fun, especially when you like you kind of go in and it ends up being a good high.
Yeah.
Oh. Bro, nothing better than a good edible high.
Good edible high.
You just need a little bit more to fucking take it to the dark side.
Yeah, and your body feels good. You feel like, kind of like floating, kind of numb.
Yo, dude, exactly. Yeah, like I'm chasing that. Like, actually, so tomorrow when I make the wings with the homie, mm-hmm. I got this fucking, this crazy bone syrup, and it's weed lean, and the bottle is 1,000 milligrams per bottle. So that shit's going to be fun.
I've bought those, like the flavored syrups. Yeah. Dude. I'll do it because I don't drink, and mm-hmm. I'll put it in drinks.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a cool thing is, like, if my friends are drinking at, like, a house party, mm-hmm. I'll bring like, a Gatorade or something, and then I'll put, like, weed lean syrup in it.
Yeah.
So I can also have, quote-unquote, drinks, minor THC, not alcohol.
Yeah.
But I can have drinks with the friends, and it's, you know, they make the weed beers now and stuff like that.
Speaking of, you want a weed seltzer? It's only 5 milligrams, so it's not going to be nothing crazy. Sure.
But it'd be fun, and fucking we could shout out the homies while on the pod.
Yeah, we will shout out weed seltzers. I buy weed seltzers all the time, so this is a favorite thing of mine.
Oh, got one for me, got one for you. Let me get this fucking milk out the way. Boom. Would you like, I got lemon lavender and blood orange cardamom.
Ooh, blood orange cardamom.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, I've bought this company before.
Dude, no, they're the best. Fucking, actually, at that same event where I won the bomb.
Yeah.
They had these guys at the bar.
Okay. Do you work in? You work in weed, right? Or you work with? You work with weed. With.
Yeah. Yeah. I have my own ventures.
Yes.
And then I also am involved with a variety of events and stuff like that, and being with Zach, you know, meeting sponsors and stuff. It's always cool.
Like, yeah, Hemper associating stuff like that.
Yeah.
What was really cool is last time I did the HB patio.
Okay. Yeah.
Truff, the people from Truff were there.
The sauce.
Yeah. Cause, Machete was making tacos with Truff sauce. And I just brought up, I got off stage at a great set.
Mm-hmm.
I got off stage and I was eating a lot of tacos. I was very high.
Yeah.
You were there. Were you there when I was at HB Panel last time?
Maybe not, because I don't remember the tacos.
We were eating tacos, and then I was like, this hot sauce is great. And one of the ladies was a sponsor, and she goes, I'll be right back. And she came and brought me 2 bottles of hot sauce.
Oh, man.
So now I have Truff hot sauce. Shout out to Truff hot sauce and that lady who gave me Truff hot sauce. And shout out to Machete for making delicious vegan tacos.
Facts, dude. Major shout out to Truff. It's all delicious. And, yo, Machete's crazy, dude. Everything he makes is vegan.
Yeah, I know.
So legendary, bro. So legendary. And like every time I go back and he's like, oh yeah, I'm making this. And like I'll be excited and then I'll remember like, wait, he's going to make that shit vegan? How's he going to do it? And it's always fire, dude.
He did the first time I did it, he did like macaroni with ham. With vegan ham. It was so good.
Oh my God.
And my girl's Jewish, so she doesn't eat pork.
Okay.
And she was even digging it.
Yeah.
She's like, does ham taste like this? Because she's never ate ham.
Right. Oh,
and I was
man.
Like, yeah, this is what ham tastes like. I'm like, I love this, and I eat real ham.
Yeah. Oh, shit, dude. He, last time I was there, he made vegan banh mi's.
Ooh, I love banh mi's.
Dude, yo, shout out Lee's down the street, dude.
Yeah, I've had Lee's banh mi's.
Dude, fucking, I love Lee's, man. Lee's is delicious, fucking, that's one sponsor I would love to fucking acquire. I went in there and I was trying to get them to sponsor the Mondays Are Dope show.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, fucking, if you guys got like some coupons or something, or like, hey, free baguette and a drink, let me get like 5 of them. I'll give them to comics, this, this, and that.
Yeah.
I'll put you guys on my flyer. They're like, oh, no, thank you. And I was like, okay, well, let me get two special sandwiches. Fucking one classic, one supreme.
Did you tell them that you had a fight club at your...
Oh, man, that would have been the fucking ticket, right, dude?
That's why I love comedy so much, is I just come to your Monday show. I'm on it, and I show up, and you're hanging out with a punk rock Fight Club in the parking lot.
That was the show you did. That's right. Yeah. Dude, shout out Punk Rock Fight Club, dude.
Punk Rock Fight Club, everybody in there is cool. Are they a real fight club?
Yes.
So they fight each other?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and then they fight other people. And, like, they have people that are amateurs who do amateur fights.
Okay.
And they all pull up to their homies' fights.
Really?
And I've heard some stories about shit going sideways.
Do they still
outside.
Go to the open mic?
Sometimes. Fucking, so the one of the dudes, Enik, he had done, when I started doing my open mic, I was doing it was called Trap House Mondays.
Yeah.
I did it in downtown LA, and it was more of a sesh.
Okay.
We had some guy out there selling mushroom infused sauces. You fucking statute of limitations. We're a comedian.
Mushroom infused sauces?
Fucking, you can get mushroom chocolates.
Yeah, I know you can get mushroom chocolate.
Yeah, he had mushroom chocolates. He had no, I just was trying to drag it out, and I'm okay. A little high, so I got nervous about saying it out loud. But I've talked about it before.
Super into mushroom sauces. I've had mushroom chocolates before. Yeah. I've had mushroom gummies.
Mushroom gummies are great.
They are great.
Fucking
nice microdoses,
dude. No, for sure, and it's the best.
Again, like, this is how weird my family is. First time I did mushrooms was with my mom.
Oh hell, dude, your mom's cool as fuck.
This is such a bro thing to say, but the first time I did mushrooms was I was back in Minnesota for a wedding in 2020. This is like right after the pandemic ended in red states because my cousin got married in Wisconsin. They didn't believe in the pandemic. So
word.
I flew back and my brother-in-law was like, let's get mushrooms. And I was like, hell yeah. So my brother got mushrooms. My brother made mushroom chocolates. My whole family cooks. My whole family loves weed and my whole family, comedy, weed, and food is a big thing my whole family loves. So my brother was like, I'm making mushroom chocolates, and we don't like to not be outdone. So when we make something for the family, you go all out. He made like these mushroom Heath bars. Were fucking awesome.
Oh,
had
man.
Them like sectioned out with how much he thought would be in them.
Yeah,
he had like
yeah.
all the parameters taken care of. He had everybody's doses set up. Because him and my brother-in-law do a lot of mushrooms, and then, like, I haven't done mushrooms a lot, so he had, like, enough for me, enough for my sister, enough for my mom.
Oh, man.
And then my mom did mushrooms and then just went to bed. We got high, we hung out for a little bit, we were all on mushrooms, and then she's like, I'm just going to go to bed. And she went to bed and turned on an episode of Your Mom's House. I could hear it in the guest bedroom.
No way, yeah. Dude. That's funny, man.
And my brother just looked at me. He's like, this is why you like being at home. And I go, why? He goes, because it's no different than you hanging out with your comic friends. Someone does too many mushrooms and goes and watches Your Mom's House.
Dude, that's funny, bro. Yeah.
And we had such a great time. And 7 a.m. rolls around. My mom's making breakfast for all of us. We all stayed at my brother's condo. My mom's making breakfast for all of us. And she was like, yesterday was the best day of my life. And I'm like, why? She's like, I fell asleep and I heard all my kids, because we're all in our 30s now. She's like, I heard you guys all laughing and having fun.
Oh, man.
And I was like, she's not even going to bring up the fact that we were so high.
Yeah, dude. You guys are just having fun.
She's like, my kids are just having fun.
Yeah, that's some mom shit, dude. Yeah, shout out mom,
she's
bro.
Still staying a mom.
Yeah, shout out mom,
shout
man.
Shout out moms.
For sure. Because, like, my mom has recently fucking lightened up.
Oh, has she?
Fucking recently, dude. Fucking, and even then, fucking, like, she's not tripping on me smoking weed. She knows that we all, like, me and all my siblings, we all smoke weed. My youngest two siblings drink way more than fucking me and my other sister.
Okay. My mom doesn't like that too much. My mom doesn't like, because I don't drink, and my dad wasn't really around. My dad was a big alcoholic drug addict.
Okay.
So my mom doesn't like booze. She's very down
word.
With weed, but like,
yeah.
Like if someone, like if my sister will have like three martinis at dinner, she'd be like, really? You need three martinis?
I
like
feel
it's
you.
One of those where we could have a blunt in the car on the way to dinner.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, all good. And then my sister orders a second martini, and she's like, really?
I feel you, dude. Yeah. No, yeah, no, yeah.
Weed's
and it's
cool,
real.
But, booze, yeah. Come on, get
dude,
with it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, it's a different animal, man.
It
and
is.
Like, the reason I don't really like drinking too much is because I saw a lot of drinking when I was younger,
yeah.
And I didn't really, like, dig the way pops would drink.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's what kind of keeps me away from it, and I get a little anxious around drunk people, keeping a G.
For the same thing? I'm the exact same way?
Yeah, dude.
Very relatable.
Right, and, so, like, when I go out with, like, my younger sister, like, she just moved back from San Diego, so she's here now, like, we'll go out, and, like, she'll be drinking, and I'm like, yo, for real? And she's like, what? Like, it's fine. Like, I'm not even, like, drunk, and I'm just, like, I'm getting just worked up watching her
drink. You're getting nervous because you're, like, there is a tip because with alcohol, there is such a tipping point.
Yeah,
and
for
it's
sure.
Like, all right, she's fun. And then she gets like a shot and you're like, is this the one? Is this the one where the fun stops?
Yeah, exactly. Because like then it just becomes annoying and like now and it could be a problem. And it's like, no, hold on. You got to stay here.
That's what I like now is all my siblings. I'm the oldest. So my brother's 5 years younger. My sister's 3 years younger.
Okay.
And it's like, so I quit before them, but now we're all in our 30s. So we're all about done.
Okay.
So like everybody's responsible now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
now
we
just make fun of each other for back in the day.
Right. No, that's like, exactly.
Like, remember when my brother's the youngest, so me and my sister give him the most shit. It's like, remember your 21st birthday? And he's like, I didn't know. You guys were there. You guys should have helped me not throw up. I threw up in that bar. And we're like.
Dude, that's funny. So very similar story. My brother was fucking 17, 18 maybe, right before he started college. He was like, hey, man, here's $42. Can you go get me the biggest bottle of tequila you can get at fucking Total Wine and More?
Yeah.
I was like, look, dude, I can get you a bottle of tequila or I can get you a big bottle.
Yeah.
I suggest a regular bottle, dude. And he goes, no, fucking, no, we know what we're doing. Yo, homies, yeah, fucking, I come home from a show, dude. Done. Yeah, he's in one bathroom shitting and yakking into a bucket. His homie is yakking in the other bathroom. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck? And then like their other homie's like, fuck. They're drunk too, but like just fucking coasting, right?
Not thrown up, yeah.
Fucking next thing I know, his homie's like in the shower, dude. Fucking like just drunk in the shower.
I had a friend who did that in college too. He would get wasted. And then you'd go into the bathroom and he'd just be like, he would never get fully naked, which was cool because we'd have to go save him. But he'd be like just in his underwear, just like sitting down in the shower with it running.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, this is my house.
This is my house, dude.
This is mine and Frank's apartment. We have a water bill. You can't just be drunk in the shower with it going.
Oh, fuck, dude.
You're real responsible at 22 where you're like, we have a water bill. Quit having the water running.
Right, dude. What are you doing? Yeah. Oh, man.
You'd be drunk and lay on the floor.
Yup.
The rest of us.
Exactly, dude. And, like, it's funny because I was teasing him about it, like, the next day. And he was like, look, man, I blacked out yesterday. That's trauma. And I laughed at him and fucking fast forward, he just turned 21 in November, so like I brought it up to him and he was like, hey man, you should have told me, you should have just gotten a bottle and said it was a big bottle. And I'm like,
he's trying
to
still blame you.
Oh man, it's crazy. So you're the oldest, huh?
Yeah, I'm the oldest. Yeah,
that's cool. And so, that's a pretty significant, or it's a chunk of a gap between all you guys. That's what's up.
My sister's 3 and then my brother's 5.
Right on.
Years younger than me.
Yeah, because so. I'm also the oldest, but we're all 2 years apart.
Okay.
And shout out mom and dad, dude. Fucking, I was thinking about it the other day and tripping, bro. Mm-hmm. At my age right now, my mom was about to be pregnant with her 4th kid.
Yeah, I'm 36, so my mom would have already gotten divorced. My mom's insane. My mom's the coolest. Shout out Lori. You'll probably listen to this, or you won't. You'll just watch like Joe Rogan podcast and then tell me you listen to it.
Right.
But no, she had 3 kids, got divorced, cut my dad out of her life, cut my dad out of our lives because he was the worst. Put herself through nursing school, became a nurse, moved us across the country to Arizona, and then just did it by herself.
Right. Dang, that's fire, dude.
So shout I don't get to complain about anything.
Yeah. Dude, no, that, yeah, see?
Anytime I call her and I'm like, ugh, this sucks. And she goes, I did that with 3 kids by myself.
Yeah, bro.
So it's kind of made us all very, I guess, good at paying our bills and stuff. Like my brother, me and my sister, is we've never, like, everybody moved out when they're 18. No one needed anything. Mm-hmm. It's because we watched my mom do it and it was like, oh, there is no excuses.
Right, dude. Yeah.
It's like, ugh, she did it. With 3 kids, by herself, put herself through nursing school. Maybe I shouldn't have went out to eat 4 times this week and then now can't pay my cell phone bill. That's on me.
Right,
that's
on exactly, me. Dude. Yeah. And it really fucking keeps that fire burning to be like, all right, fucking.
It's probably why I still have a day job and do comedy. Because, I mean, like I said, if I wanted to live in squalor, I could probably just do comedy full time. But, like, it's like I could just work a little extra and then I could have some nice things. And I feel like I learned that from my mom, who was like, if I just grind and don't stop and push, I'll get to have everything I want.
Right, dude. Because, moms don't fucking stop.
No.
They don't. And it's crazy because, like, my mom being a young mom, I was like, oh, shit, fucking, I'm 19? Yeah, I should have two or three jobs because my mom was about to have a fucking kid.
Yeah.
Which is a job in itself. Yeah. And fucking she was working a job. You know what I mean? So, like, I've always had – I attribute a lot of my work ethic to my mom because, like, she was just grinding all the time.
Yeah.
And when she wasn't at work, she was fucking driving us to school, dropping me.
Cleaning the house, laundry.
Cooking, fucking taking me to baseball practice, being a fucking Girl Scout troop leader.
Yeah.
And then fucking having a – and carrying a baby, dude.
And then you remember being that piece of shit kid where she was like, can you put the dishes in the dishwasher? And you're like, oh, no.
Oh, man, dude, yeah.
No, gotta go skateboarding.
Oh, my God, yeah,
give me $20,
bro.
You suck.
Right, like, you don't have $5.
Yeah.
Dude, bitch, yeah.
Bitch.
For real, dude. Oh, man. Yeah, no, because that's exactly what it is. It's like, do I want to go out? Nah, fucking, it's going to be like $15 for parking. And then, like, you're like, you don't got $15. It's like, I do, but check it out.
But I don't.
I don't, also.
Yeah, I do, but I need that for something else.
Right, dude. Yeah, fucking shout out. You learned how to fucking, I learned how to live within my means. And fucking, it's so much cooler having someone else fucking with you to kind of also pay for half.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Shout out, girlfriends, for paying for half.
Amen, dude. Amen. Because, yeah, I would not. Yeah, if I was by myself, if I was single, dude, oh, fuck it. I'd be fine with a garage.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a studio.
Yeah, dude, 100%, bro. 100% not. Fucking, it would be a fucking futon, a TV, and an outlet, bro.
Oh, I've
and
lived I'm in fine. Gross places.
Yeah, bro.
With comics. I've lived with comics once, and I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Oh, dude, I can imagine, because, like, my homies
are all gross.
Yeah, dude. Oh, for sure. For sure. I can imagine, dude. Like, I remember I moved in with one of my best friends, and it was me, him, and his brother, and it was like this garage converted into like a bedroom and then a garage with a bathroom.
Yeah.
Like,
and you were like, this is fine.
Oh, dude, it was amazing. It was so awesome. It was so awesome. And like, just knowing that, you know, you can go back to that and it's like whatever's, or like, yeah, it would be whatever's and it might be fun. Bro, I mean, I didn't pay for any of these couches, but I got three couches right here, dude.
You do have three couches. You have three comfortable couches.
Yeah, fucking blessed for sure. This one came with the apartment. This one got left behind.
Okay.
And these two we got from her sister.
Yeah.
So shout out. But dude, I couldn't have three couches. Fucking.
You have three couches, a hammock. It looks like you have a zero gravity chair.
Fuck, it's a hammock chair. Yeah, dude, no, it's awesome.
You have such optimum seating.
Dude, no, it's great. This is it.
And you have a bar.
Yeah.
You have a bar with a TV on it.
Yeah, crazy story about the bar. So
you have a great house. I just want to point this out for everybody who listens to this podcast regularly. This house is crazy. It's three comfortable couches. He has a bar. He has like really cool art everywhere. There's lights. He has a strobe light in the bathroom.
That's right. You went into the bathroom, dude. That's right.
Go take a piss and it's like a disco in there.
Yep.
You have a really cool, really movie quality Star Wars helmet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, dude.
It's one of the most impressive Star Wars helmets I've seen in the house, and I have a lot of nerd friends.
Hell yeah, dude.
Like, to say that, when I saw that, I was like, damn.
Yeah, no, I love
doing,
Star Wars.
Damon's
bro.
Doing good.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah. I appreciate it. Fucking, it helps to have a day job, dude. Yeah.
See, this is the thing. If you didn't have a day job, you wouldn't have a Star Wars helmet.
Nope.
My de-stressor is Lego. I buy a bunch of Lego sets.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah, dude.
I have the Home Alone house. I have the Sonic set.
No shit.
I have a bunch of cool Lego sets, yeah.
That's cool as fuck. Yeah. See, I fucks with Legos, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not very patient. See, I don't. So going back to food, I don't use the crock pot. I don't make soups.
I don't make soups either.
Fucking, I don't got that kind of patience. Yeah. I need to see shit change color and then eat it soon.
That's why my girl makes a great bolognese sauce.
Ooh.
But I don't even like help her because I was like, I just want to eat this pasta sauce. And then when she makes it, she's like, I'm gonna make bolognese. I'm like, hell yeah. And then she starts like steaming all the vegetables and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it smells good in the house. And I'm like, cool. I get to eat in 5 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, dude. Yeah.
Cool. The sauce can be done in 5 hours.
Right. I made chili once. Once, dude. And granted, it was fucking bomb. It was delicious.
But you were like, no.
But man, it took all day long. It took all day long. And like, yeah, I'm not down. I like to sear shit. I make steaks. I make chicken. fucking fish. I'm down with all of that.
I love steaks. I always do a steak on my birthday. I always do like a nice steak.
Okay,
I'll go to Pavilions and buy one of the Snake River Farms American Wagyu steaks.
Hell yeah, dude. That's what's up. That's what is up. I like going to Stater Bros because they got the the meat section, the butcher. Uh-huh. They got some good meats.
I'll go check out
fucking Stater's. Yeah, shout out. The one cuz they just opened one up since the pandemic.
Where is it?
It's on Allen, all the way up Allen. It used to be Avon's, Allen and Washington.
Okay.
So it's awesome.
Here. It's by here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, fuck it. And then they got their what is it? Foreign food section.
Okay.
Top tier for sure.
What do you make foreign food?
Oh, I make ramen from scratch.
Okay.
Make ramen from scratch. A lot of Asian food.
I make a lot of Asian food too.
Yeah.
Are you Asian?
No, I wish.
I'm not Asian.
I wish. Shout out the Eastern world, yeah, dude.
Yeah, I like a lot of Asian food. And then when I was in culinary school, I've had a lot of long-term girlfriends. I had a girlfriend for 6 years who was from India, so I've learned how to make a lot of Indian food.
No shit. Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah.
Super white, fuck with Indian food hard.
That's what's up, bro. A little bit of spice on this white boy, dude. See,
I grew up in Arizona, too, though. So, like, I grew up working in kitchens.
Yeah.
So I grew up with just Mexican cooks.
Dude.
Who would just love to make hot salsa and let the fucking pinche gringo eat the salsa and then burn his mouth.
Yo, so there you go.
I got baptized through fire.
Oh, man. Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Fucking, I always tell the homies, when I'm really stoned, I do a lot of impressions.
Yeah.
Fucking one time the homie was like, bro, because I have the hot ones, hot sauce.
Okay.
And he was like, dude, how do you fucking, I like hot sauce, blah, blah, blah. And I always go, bro, I was fucking, you merely fucking adopted the fire, dog. I was born into it, molded by it, dog.
What hot ones hot sauces do you have? Do you have Da Bomb?
I have Da Bomb and it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks. I have the last dab. It's hot as hell.
It's not as bad as Da Bomb, though, right?
Not as bad as Da Bomb.
That's what it's the come down after Da Bomb.
Yeah, dude, Da Bomb is terrible. Have you had it before?
I have not. And I don't want to have it now.
Fucking, oh, man. We'll kick it one day and we'll have it, dude.
I'm not doing it today because I'm going to walk home and I don't want to walk home and cry the whole time.
Dude, exactly. Oh, man, it'll for sure be like that. Yeah, but the Da Bomb is, we'll do a wing party, bro.
Okay, yeah.
We'll do a wing party, especially since I know you're so fucking close. Yeah, dude, this is awesome.
A mile away. We can do it.
Hell yeah. And then also, fucking, we're nearing in on the time. However, if you ever want to come do this again, bro.
I would love to.
That would be fun because we could just chop it up. And I love hanging out with comics and stuff.
Hell yeah.
We could smoke weed and all that. All right.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, dude. Allegedly.
I guess we can hear.
Right, for sure.
I
want to
bring up that I allegedly did mushrooms with my mom and sister.
Facts, dude.
I want to make that an alleged thing because they both are medical professionals.
Oh, there you go.
I thought my sister's a doctor and my mom's a nurse.
Hell yeah, bro. Shout out. Shout out the ones doing it, bro.
One day, what if my mom's hospital, like the person's a big fan of Mondays Are Dope and they're like, I heard your son on Mondays Are Dope.
Yeah.
And then my mom's like, oh yeah, what'd he say? He did mushrooms with you. And she's like, ah, fuck.
Don't tell nobody.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That was before,
bro.
I worked here.
Yeah, exactly. It was before. I didn't work here yet.
I worked at a different hospital. Yeah. I didn't give a shit.
Oh, man. That's funny, bro. Shout out, Mom.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mom, shout out.
Absolutely. Anything you want to fucking plug before we wrap
guys,
up?
Guys, check out Laugh After Dark on Amazon Prime. My set's on YouTube, too. Follow me on all social media, Josh F. Comedy, joshfcomedy.com for dates. That's where I'm at. Come find me.
Hell yeah, man. Brother, thank you for being
the
dope guest. Check it out. Me and Josh, we've been staying hydrated. You know what I mean? So if you've gone this entire time listening to us talk and you're thirsty right now and you were thirsty 10 minutes ago, guess what? That is your problem.
Have a glass of water.
Have some water. And if you've been smoking weed and you're thirsty, guess what? You got other issues that we need to address, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah, have one of these cannabis-infused social tonics by Can.
Hell yeah. Fucking shout out, dude.
50 calories. See, still not drinking calories. Josh is still keeping it real.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
I get to go home, not have to lie to my girlfriend. I lie to her when I cheat on my diet. I don't cheat on my girlfriend, but I cheat on my diet and lie to her all the time. It's the only toxic thing I do.
Hell yeah,
man. People are like, how good of a boyfriend is Josh? 100% good. Unless she calls me when I'm on the road and she's like, what have you eaten? And I'm like, I got an apple at the gas station and I'm eating McGriddles.
Yep, dude. Oh, 100%,
she's like,
bro.
She's like, I'm so proud of you. You got an apple. And I'm like, saw a McDonald's. Didn't even go. She's like, you're really on it. And I'm like, I know. I'm
eating
McGriddles, lying to her.
Hey, check it out. There's been times, bro, where like I'll pick up food and I get a McChicken for the road.
Yeah.
Or fucking I stop at Chick-fil-A and eat in my car before I come home. Dude.
Yeah. Like you pick stuff up for YouTube, but you also get yourself that bonus thing because you don't want to take out all of the food that you bought yourself in front of your girl because she's like, you didn't need all this.
Right.
You eat two of them in the car and then it's like you got the appropriate amount of food she thinks you should have.
Exactly.
But you've already eaten a meal's worth of food.
Facts, dude. I've done facts.
That so many times.
Yo, secret meals are dope.
Secret meals, guys.
Secret meals. Fucking Josh Floorhog is dope. I'm dope. You're dope. Mondays are dope, baby.
Mondays are dope.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, that was fun, bro.
Thank you.
I'm knowing what we puffin' on, legit. Got it all, man, the grams to the zips. If it ain't that loud, then why you loud? You need the zip, bruh, fell asleep, you need a bib. Look at him, droolin' on this shit. That what it is. Youngin' need to step his tolerance up. Pass it, stop babysitting. We in the back like car seats with the baby in it. Burning the house down, it looks like it from a distance. Oh Jesus, we don't need no polices in here. But I said, I'm lit. How I'm knowing what we puffing on legit. Got it all, man, the grabs to the zips. Get wit, I said.